Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Actually, this morning it's going to be more about money power. That's right. We're going to be talking about an issue that has affected millions of people in the United States, and it is a subject that can be extremely painful for people to try to discuss with anyone. What might that subject be? Foreclosure. This is an area that anyone who has ever owned a home doesn't even want to think about. None of us ever want to even go there if we own a home. We say, oh, I'll be just fine. I'll take care of everything. Well, life sometimes gives you a real good smack, a smack of reality that can be absolutely terrifying, frightening. You feel like you just don't have a chance. There's no way you're going to survive it, and you've got to leave everything behind. You have to lose everything. Well, my guest today, Ann Huevas, is a woman that says that doesn't have to happen. Now, this isn't pie-in-the-sky information we're going to be sharing with you today. This is real, solid information about how you or someone that you know, maybe a loved one, that is going through very difficult financial challenges, and they're just absolutely in a mind fog. Well, Ann Huevas, with her book, Save Your Home Without Losing Your Mind or Your Money. Now, that's important, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about this morning. Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, and we're going to be talking about mind power, too.
Yes, mind power right along with financial power. This has been a very difficult time, and I need to share with you that I have seen this happen in Canada in the 80s. I saw it happen up in Alaska in the 90s. And now here we are as a nation across the country, people going through this. Now, I've watched this happen over and over historically in different environments, and it is tragic. It is absolutely heartbreaking. Now, I want people to know a little bit about your background. You have been involved in the loan environment for a long, long time. Why was it you thought that this is something that you really wanted to get interested in? Did you just happen to get plopped into a situation and got your aha while you were doing it, saying, ooh, this is my kind of stuff? What was it made you interested, number one, in homes and mortgages and loans? Why is it that you have such an interest in this?
You know, I started very, very young. I was about 18 years old, a little bit before turning 18 years old, when I got into the mortgage and real estate business many, many years ago. And I don't know, it was just something that really attracted me about real estate and finance. And so from there, I learned all about title. I learned all about the people. I learned all about marketing. And then just most recently, I was working for a mortgage lender right before the big crash, before everything happened. I was number one in the United States for the lender that I worked for as a mortgage executive there. And so what happened was that after I had to reinvent myself, what happened was that people started coming to me and said, you know, I know that you know about mortgages. Can you help me with my problem? And so I started helping one person, and then that person would tell their neighbor. And then that's kind of how the word spread. And then about 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah, and so what happens is that really kind of shocks you into reevaluating your entire life. And I felt that there was a message in there for me when I survived. I had a real life miracle, and I survived, and I'm in complete remission. And I decided that I needed to help more people, not just the people in my local community. And the only way that I can reach as many people as I need to reach, because as you know, there's over about 6 million people that are facing some sort of default all mm-hmm. over the nation. And the only way that Anna can reach all of those people is by empowering them with the same information that I had. So basically, I took the information that took me to number one on the insider track of the mortgage side, right? And I took that information and I flipped it to help people uncover their own personal power and be able to take back that power that we've given away by trusting our you know, the different people in the industries. And we don't really know what's going on sometimes. We got this loan. We didn't know anything about it. And so now's the time to take that power back. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've done with Save Your Home.
That is one of the points that I thought was just so valuable with your book, because you do go through a step-by-step process. And there were comments right in the preface of the book that really grabbed me. You should see all the little highlighting lines that I've got here. One of them is, be an informed, squeaky wheel. I think it's so terrifying when you are in a set of circumstances that are not your fault, really. And maybe you've lost your job, you go through all of these variables, and you just think you are just not going to be able to do anything. There's just nothing to do. And you make a point right at the beginning of your book that as homeowners, we need to understand we've got to be informed. So just what you said, you need to question everything. You must determine that you're going to fight. And I think that positioning, when you go in to work in a bank, I know, I've been there. I've gone through more than one experience with a bank that you just feel like, oh my goodness, I don't have any choices. And it depends on the level of knowledge of the person that you're dealing with. And as you said, we need to get into understanding the rules of the game. Now, that is a hard thing for people sometimes to wrap their minds around. What are those rules of the game, Anna?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to understand that no one wants to save your home more than you do, right? So as long as you understand your financial picture and how you fit into the programs that are available, then you're going to have the best chance of success, and also knowing that you can go back in and make some changes in your life, possibly lower your insurance or lower your property taxes, you know, raise your deductible on your insurance so that now you can lower those payments a little bit. I think that these times are good for taking up a new little side business of something that you've always loved, you know, baking cupcakes or, you know, taking care of your neighbors or possibly doing some other little side things that can generate some income. And sometimes those things turn into wonderful things during these tough economic times. But the rules of the game, basically, number one, is you really, really need to be prepared with your own finances. And this is the time to really dig in and make an inventory of everything that you're spending and making an inventory of everything that's coming in so that you understand your financial picture. Because that's where I'm seeing the biggest mistakes coming back from the lender, where they'll make a mistake on the income. Well, you might need to spell it out completely for them. I had one instance where I had a stuntman, and he got paid from different production companies. So he had a check from Warner Brothers, and he had a check from Fox. And so he had different checks. And what happened is that they took each one of those checks, and they did a year-to-date average on it. Well, he doesn't actually work for the studios, and he doesn't get a monthly check. He only gets the check per movie that he does a stunt in. So they ended up giving him like $20,000 a month income. Well, if he made $20,000, he wouldn't be in this predicament, right? So then you have to think outside the box. If you have income that's not normal, you might have to go to whoever does the payroll and says, can you give me a printout of everything that I've made year to date. You might have to go and have them fill out how much overtime you get within the year, because the check that you turn into the bank might show that you've got a ton of overtime, but that might be seasonal. So it might not be customary that you receive that, and they might give you too much income. And so knowing all of these things is the first step, is knowing your own stuff first. Then after that, then you need to familiarize yourself with the programs and where you fit in to the programs that are available to save your home. Now, so those are the two main things.
Mm-hmm. You have a quote by Benjamin Franklin that I really like. It's the first responsibility of every citizen to question authority. Boy, that's a big one. When somebody walks into a bank or they're dealing with someone on the phone, I know I've had friends that they're just terrified. They go into these environments and they just feel like they're this puny little ant with this gigantic institution. And, of course, these people know it all. They don't. There are so many instances that I have become aware of where well-meaning people have just been in a job for a period of time, and they don't know 50% of what they need to know. They haven't really gotten there. How can someone deal with this? Because it is very scary to someone when they go in and you have maybe a bank manager or somebody giving you this, that, or the other, and you go, no, that's not right. This isn't correct.
Right.
What
right.
do you do?
Right.
What would you recommend then?
Well, I'm going to backtrack just a tiny bit and add to that a lot of times these banks have had to ramp up, right, and gather lots of new employees that might have been working at a supermarket 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. But we've all been kind of conditioned throughout our lives, right, that we trust our banker. They're going to give you the final word. And if you get a denial notice, oh, my God, we're packing our bags and we're moving out, right? Well, I've seen about 90% of those get turned around by fighting back. So this is exactly what I talk about in the book, where if you get somebody like that that's not giving you the right answer, you're not going to know unless you know that it's the wrong answer that you're getting. So that's why it's important for us to fill ourselves up with that knowledge, right? Because, you know, if we don't know anything about it, and they tell us you're denied because of such and such, and we don't know what any of that means, and we don't know how to go back and fight it, then we're just going to do that, pack our bags and move out. And so what I suggest is that if you're getting that person on the other end that's giving you something that feels like it's wrong, that it's unreasonable, and now you've done your research, right? You've read Save Your Home, and you've done all of your research, and you understand where you fit in, and you see that there's an error, and you're not getting anywhere with one person, I don't really think you're going to get anywhere with that person if you're already suffering through that. So my suggestion is at that point, Google becomes your great friend. And, you know, I always say, let me refer to my lawyer, Google. You know, so I look up the important people at the bank, and then I write a letter to that person, and I detail everything that's going on. And, you know, we've won so many cases for people where, you know, I have a gentleman, Hector Salazar, who was turned down 6 times from his bank. That man, he would have given up on the first denial if he didn't know how to fight back. Mm-hmm. He went back in, and it was the same argument. It was 6 times of the same argument. We went back 6 times, and they kept coming back, and, you know, they were using the income from 2010, and we were already in almost at the end of 2011, and we're saying, no, and 2010 is when he had the hardship. Yes, he made too little. That's why he fell behind. But now he went out and he got new clients, and this is his income. And so I did the work for them. I took the bank statement and I analyzed them for the bank. And so then you go back and you write your letter to this upper management person and you spell it out. They are using the wrong income. They're using $4,000 a month, and I make $6,000 a month. And here it is. Here, you know, here's how you multiply it, and here's what the new payment should be under this guideline, and you spell it out. And actually, that example is in the book. Exactly, word for word, what I said to that bank. And then it came back, and we even got a phone call from the vice president of the bank congratulating us because they were going to change their training within the loss mitigation department to train people on how to properly underwrite this income.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that is my suggestion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that men many times will have more of an aggressive positioning, we think. But here you've told a story about a man, very intelligent, well-educated. He worked hard, but they weren't even willing to listen to him. So it has nothing to do with sex or how you present things. It's the fact that as individuals, we don't want to question authority. We dislike confrontation, conflict. And yet we're going through this ourselves with these financial challenges. So many people have families. Women that have been single that maybe were able to buy a home, and then all of a sudden they're in a dilemma. The same thing with the guys that have lost their jobs. This is so important, and that's what I liked about your book, Save Your Home. And as you say in the book, it can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. I've known people through the years that were worth millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. There'd be those that would look at them and say, oh, they're never going to have to worry about anything as long as they live. Then they ended up having a family member that was very ill, that it cost a fortune to take care of that person. They had a downturn financially. They lost everything. I mean, I can relate to more than one story that has been shared with me as a counselor through the years. So just like you said in your book, it can happen to anyone, anyone. And I know people right now, women whose husbands are critically ill, and they have not gone out and gotten a regular job because they've got to be the caretaker for the spouse. So they have this, and their home is in jeopardy. So your book is just a powerhouse of information. And one of the things that you bring out that's so important, that any conversation, just like you were talking about, any conversation, any communication, you keep your records. You talk to anyone, you know their name, you give their name, you cite the specifics, you put it in black and white, and you make sure you have a copy. You have to be like a dripping faucet over and over again. So you really, really do bring out some great points. One of the points you bring out is don't be rude. Someone else on the other end of the line, they might be, but you don't. You're like that dripping faucet. You just keep in their face all the time. Now, what's the difference between a loan modification and forbearance? There may be listeners that don't have a clue. Loan modification, they may say, yeah, I understand that. That's adjusting money. What's forbearance? What's the difference between the two, and why is it so important to know about this?
Well, there's actually, it's funny because it's even more confusing. There's two kinds of forbearances. So the difference between a loan modification is when they actually change one or more of the terms of your loan. So, for example, you have a 6% rate, and they change that to 3%, that now becomes a loan modification. Or you owe $200,000 and you're behind $50,000, and they add that to the $200,000 that you owe because you're past due, and then decide to just lump it all together and give you a new payment. That's a loan modification. Mm-hmm. And it's actually when they do it, the action that they're doing to add it on is called capitalizing your past due payments onto your loan. Now, a forbearance, sometimes it's a little tricky because sometimes they'll send you a forbearance that looks like it's a loan modification. But what it really is let's say, Donna, your payment right now is $2,000 and you're behind about $10,000 because you haven't made your mortgage payment for 5 months. And then they take a portion of that $10,000 and they add it to the $2,000 monthly payment so that you actually pay back that $10,000 within a certain period of time. Mm-hmm. So that would be one type of a forbearance. And the other type is where this one is actually good, a forbearance of your balance, where they might take $50,000 because they need to give you an affordable payment. They might take that $50,000 and then freeze it and put it to the side for the remainder of the loan. You don't make any payments on that $50,000, and it's actually quite valuable. I'm surprised that the banks don't make a bigger hoopla about it, because I think it's actually pretty cool. If they take that $50,000, you still owe it, but at the end of the whole term, you don't make any payments during this whole time. So it does have a dollar amount of savings attached to it if you were to do the math on, you know, you're at 6% and it's $50,000 over 30 years. It does have a savings implication. But
big time.
Yeah, big time. And I wish that they did the math on there, because then people would be happier when they saw that type of forbearance than they are sometimes. They're, oh, you know, I didn't get a principal forgiveness is what the common complaint right now, because there's so many homeowners that are underwater. But I actually like the forbearance on that side of things, because you don't really have tax implications. Whereas if they forgive the $50,000 right up front, you'll get a wonderful little tax notice that you received income of $50,000 for that year. And then you have to deal with that with your CPA to fix that mm-hmm. issue. Mm-hmm. But if you get that other type of forbearance, you don't. And so the one that I talk about, the big one in the book that I talk about, the difference, is the one where they're adding that money onto your payment. Because if you're having problems making your payment and now they add the extra $1,000 that you've been accumulating and the $10,000, they add that to your $2,000. Now your new payment's $3,000. So you actually didn't really get very much help.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Now let's talk about the program HAMP, H-A-M-P. It's the Home mm-hmm. Affordable Modification Program. When did that start up, and why is that useful to homeowners that are in trouble?
Well, that started up, I believe it was in 2009. I don't even remember anymore, but I find it to be useful because it's structured, and you can easily figure out where you're supposed to be by taking your income. Let's say, I'll give you just an easy example. If you take your income, and let's say, Donna, you make $1,000 a month, right? Then mm-hmm. it's 31% of your gross income is what the maximum your payment can be. So if your income is $1,000, you multiply that times 31%, very simple math, right? We know it's $310 is the maximum your total payment is, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, and if you have a homeowners association, that's the max that it could be.
Mm-hmm.
So then it makes it a lot easier to work the numbers backwards, which I talk about all over my blog on how to calculate that, and it's in Save Your Home too, where you're able to kind of calculate backwards, because I'll give you an example based on that same $1,000 income. If you owe $500,000 on your mortgage, Donna, then you know that there's no way that the bank is going to lower your payment to $310, including right. everything, mm-hmm. right? So then it makes it easy to figure out. Now, if you knew that going in, then maybe you wouldn't, I mean, you're going to stay up at night, right, wondering what's going to happen to you, if you're going to be able to save your home and, you know, make sure that you don't get thrown out of your house and all those what-ifs and unknowns, right, that we worry about and stay up at night. But at least going in, you're going to know that your focus isn't really to fight back. If they come back and say you're denied, Donna, you're going to know why, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to be caught off guard because you've already done the math. So you know that your focus is, I need to go find a second job. I need to ask my mom to move in and rent a room for me. I need to do X and X and X, because that's the priority, right? You know you need to make more income.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get a denial notice, when you submit your $1,000 income on your $500,000 house, it's no surprise when you get a denial. You're already going to know that, so you don't have to stay up at night wondering that. It's a given. It's not going to happen. So, you know, that's why it's important to know all of these numbers, and it's pretty, I break it down into easy to understand formulas so that you can go in and you can see, does this make sense to the investor? And if you turn things around and almost put your investor hat on and say, would I grant this person a loan modification? If I lent them $100,000 and they came to me and I've got this program available, would I do it? Or would I tell them that they need to sell their house, or would it just be easier to take it during a foreclosure?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it needs to make sense to the investor. Yes, they're going to, you know, lower your payments and do all of that. But if it doesn't make sense to that investor, if he can get, you know, on the market $600,000 today versus giving you a payment of $310 that is only going to net him $100,000. It's very simple to see, $600,000 or $100,000 in the pocket of the investor. He's going to go for the bigger one.
Right. Now, you also have a section in your book on loan modification for people who are not late on their payment. Now, there are many, many people who have invested in homes when the market value was very high. Now their property value maybe is 50% less in some areas of the country. It might even be more than what it was valued at the time that they bought it. What would you recommend to those people? They're still making the payments, but maybe their payment is $2,000 a month. If they tried to sell their house, it's not going to sell for that. Maybe their house was valued at $500,000, and now it's, if they're lucky, it's worth maybe $300,000, maybe it's $250,000. That loan ratio needs to be renegotiated, perhaps. How do you do that? This was a big challenge in Canada in the early 80s and in Alaska when so many people lost their jobs, and this was in the middle 90s. What would you recommend to somebody like that?
Well, it is still difficult today, right, because... Mm-hmm. The help is there for people that are in jeopardy of defaulting and in jeopardy of losing their homes. It's not really just a free-for-all for everybody that's underwater, right? So you have to do, there's some specific tests that they run, and I also give a breakdown of how to figure that out to see if you're in imminent default, and that's what they call it. If you're not late, you have to pass a series of tests to see if you're close to being late. Are you, you know, is something going to happen? Is there going to be some type of trigger, or has it already happened, but you're hanging on by savings? Then that's an imminent default. You just have to run through the numbers to see if they're going to consider it. You know, if you've got $100,000 in your bank account, on your savings account, and they see that, then that's, they're not going to consider that to be imminent default because you have enough to make payments.
Right.
So you have to.
Yeah,
you still got cash. We haven't, you know, we haven't taken all your blood yet, you know. Right. So what you really have to do is be prepared that it's a longer fight. It can be done. Some lenders are easier than others to work with when you are facing an imminent default. But when you're not late, you're not on the priority. You know, and I don't want to tell anybody to go out and be late because the program does allow for people that aren't late. So my suggestion is find out if you're, there's something that's going to be a trigger for an imminent default. Let's say you know that July 1st, your payment is changing from $2,500 to $3,500. That might be the trigger that's going to put you over the edge. So you can prepare for that and you can go ahead and apply. Say and make sure that you outline that you're in imminent default because your payment is about to go up and you're not going to be able to afford that. And so then they're going to see that right up front that that is a trigger.
Anna, would you be able to stay with me for about another 15 minutes? Because I'd love to be able to cover how the military homeowners can guard against foreclosure and also how to overturn a foreclosure sale. Would you be able to stay with me a little bit longer?
I sure can.
Wonderful. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. This is an important subject matter, I believe, because I think being informed can make all the difference in the world, and it puts power in your space and money in your pocket when you are. And so we're going to be discussing various points when we come back. Anna has agreed to stay on a little longer. Anna Cuevas, we're talking about her book, Save Your Home, Without Losing Your Mind or Your Money. It's a wonderful resource for people to utilize. We're taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. My guest today, if you're just tuning in, is Anna Cuevas. Save your home without losing your mind or your money. Now, this is a very important topic today because there are literally millions who are suffering very, very difficult circumstances. Your home is your castle, right? It's an investment. This is something that is supposed to serve you in a very positive way. Well, Anna has already shared a lot of very good points, but we're going to talk about something that you don't hear much conversation about. How can you overturn a foreclosure sale? Anna, somebody has been in real difficult straits. They've gotten notice, and every state has different rulings on foreclosure, and you show that information in your book. Let's say you're in a position, maybe you'd been without a job, you were 4 or 5 months behind. Now you're working. Now you've got an income. You're going to be able to do things, but the foreclosure sale has already started. What do you do?
Okay. If the foreclosure sale has already started, let's say they've already issued you a notice saying your home is going to be sold in 21 days, right? Now, like in here in California, you get a notice of default. It gives you about 90 days, and then after those 90 days, then they can file what's called the notice of sale, notice of trustee sale, and that is 21 days out. And if it's in that stage, you can submit a loan modification application, and as long as you submit it about 10 business days prior to that sale, then what they're supposed to do is stop that sale. Now, it doesn't always happen that way, so a lot of times you have to stay on it, and you have to be in contact with them. And if you need to escalate that and you need to take it up the chain of command, then you need to do that. And if you need to carbon copy your congressman and your senator and the attorney general and everybody that you can possibly think of, the mayor, you know, whoever, CC them in on your letter. And I've sent people out to go to the post office and send a letter to everybody that they could think of that would listen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully with enough time, because 10 days is for the application that way, because they're supposed to, by the rules of the HAMP program, they're supposed to stop the sale as long as you submit. And they say 7 business days, but I've heard some banks say 10. So I'd rather have people not really risk that. I'd rather see them put something in a couple weeks before at the minimum, right? And then get on the horn. And don't hang up until you get somebody that says, okay, we're going to put in the postponement. Fax to them, email to them, Google the superiors, find their email addresses. If that's what you have to do because you're in that frenzy and the home is going to be sold and you want to save it and you know you make reasonable income that you can qualify for a program, then you just need to be the one that does all of that. That's what I talk about, the informed squeaky wheel. But what I talk about also in the book is overturning a foreclosure sale. Now, that's not as easy. This is after it's already gone to the auction. And it's gone. Every state is different. So there's some states where it goes to the auction, and then you have time to redeem it after, you know, between a certain period of time. Now, what I talked about is overturning an actual foreclosure that's said and done and gone. And I've done that several times. It's very difficult. Your whole life has to stop. And usually the only way that you can do it is if there's been some sort of an error. So I have an example. I have a lady named Francia over in Texas, and she had lost her house after they were already working on her loan modification. They had already promised that she was going to get a loan modification. And this was, you know, back in the day. Things have gotten a little bit better in the last couple of years. You know, it kind of varies. You know, 1 week they're better and 1 week they're worse. But back about 2 or 3 years ago, it was really bad, where you had to really, really stay on them because things like this were happening left and right. So she was talking to them, and she said, oh, you know, is the foreclosure sale postponed? And they said, oh, yeah, don't worry about that. You know, we've got your application, and it looks like you're already approved, and the paper should be going out to you shortly. And the next day, somebody knocks on her door, a real estate agent, and says, your house now belongs to the bank. Mm-mm-mm-mm. And so she was frantic, obviously. She was thinking she was going to be receiving her loan modification. And a lot of people have gone through that. So it's important that you take your notice. Let's say you have a notice, you know, the notice of the trustee sale. It's going to have a website on there. It's going to have a phone number on there for the trustee. And you can call and be proactive. And what I also talk about in the book is, you know what, there's lots of fabulous nonprofit organizations such as HOPE and NACA and all of these different agencies that are there to help you. But bottom line is, no one wants to save your home more than you. So you can't just think that everybody else is going to track this for you and you can just kind of mosey along your day and not worry about it. You need to just check up on it. Mm-hmm. And you can go on that website and you can plug in the assessor's parcel number in there, and you could look it up and see what the date is and follow it and see, okay, shoot, it hasn't been postponed yet. It's 48 hours before. I already submitted my package. They said they've received it. They said that they put a postponement in. You can call the trustee and say, did you get a postponement request from the bank that maybe just hasn't been updated? And then they might say yes or no. Mm-hmm. And then you know, okay, if they say no, then I need to make some more calls. And I just need to stay on the phone until somebody says they're going to do it. And then I take their name down and I put it in writing. And that's kind of what happened here, is that this person, Francia in Texas, she had taken the names down and all of that down. So when I came into the picture, I got all of the details of everything. This is the date that the package was sent in. This is who I spoke to. This is what they said. They said I was approved, da-da-da-da-da. And then we went back, and I showed her how to bombard them and say, listen, you know, I helped to structure the letter. You said I was approved. Why is my home sold? I need to get this overturned. I need the sale to be rescinded, and I want to continue my process for a loan modification. And sometimes it's very confusing, too, because this is what I've seen more and more, is that different letters come at the same time. You might get one letter on the 14th that says you're denied, and on the 15th you get a loan modification. The one on the 14th says you're denied, we've looked at everything, and there's nothing we can do, but here's a package for you to fill out again. And on the 15th it says you're approved, you know? Wow. And so people get really, really confused. And this happens, you know, in this instance, too. So it's important that you keep your notes. You keep those names. You keep the dates. You keep the times. You keep the phone numbers. And then if you get that person on the other end and you can tell that it's going nowhere, it probably is going nowhere. So then you need to escalate that. You need to take it up the chain of command, put it in writing, overnight it, return receipt requested, and email. Don't even stop at that. I say do everything. Fax them, email them, overnight it.
Mm-hmm. Just like the dripping faucet till it drives them nuts.
Yep.
Now, you have one segment that I wanted to include, which, by the way, I want to inject the fact that you have a glossary in your book. You have sample letters that can be done, can be used, and all of this is just so valuable. You also have success stories in your book. So if someone's feeling very discouraged, your book, Save Your Home, is going to give them an idea about how they have an opportunity to make a successful approach themselves. Now, you specifically have a chapter on military homeowners, and there is a group called the Service Members Civil Relief Act. It's the SCRA. Tell us about that.
Well, this SERA is a special program for military people that are on active duty, and it protects them so that while they're out on active duty, they don't get foreclosed on, and they don't, they have certain leeway that they allow for these people. But on top of that, not only that program, but now more and more of the banks are starting to have more specific programs that can sometimes be even better than just that. So they have a certain criteria and certain things that they're able to do where they'll lower the rate to 4% while they're on active duty, and they won't do the foreclosure. So there's all sorts of different things. But now, like I mentioned, there's more and more programs that are available from the different lenders. And I'll give you an example. I had a Korean War veteran, 79-year-old Korean War veteran and heart attack survivor. And he was turned down so many times from the bank for stupid reasons. I couldn't even believe some of these reasons. You know, the wife was on disability, long-term disability, and they said, well, we can't accept her income because she only has it for 2 years, and our guideline is 3 years, and we couldn't find anywhere where that guideline was written, right? So we kept fighting that, and we just started researching, and I go, you know, we use Facebook and Twitter and whatever you would use to normally even market your business, you could use that to market the, you know, the saving of your home, right? So we went and we found the Facebook page for the president of the bank, and just then he had posted that they were doing this big campaign for service members and veterans. And so then I looked up the press release, and I found the press release that showed that they had this wonderful new program for service members and veterans. And it said who was going to be in charge of the program. So I found out how to contact them, and we contacted them, and I said, you know, you have this new initiative that you're going to help service members and veterans. Can you start with this veteran, this 79 Korean War veteran that is right there? He qualifies. And lo and behold, they called back within 24 hours, and they started working on it, and just this last month, they signed their loan modification, and they were able to save their home. So there's specific programs at each lender for veterans and active military.
Well, Anna, your book, Save Your Home Without Losing Your Mind or Your Money, I really think is absolutely wonderful. You've written it in the language that a layperson can understand. You give people options to work with. Now, I want people to know that they can go to your website, askaloanmodguru.com. Also, you've got another site, saveyourhomethebook.com. And I think that both of these sites are very, very good. You also have some MP3s that people can download. You have all kinds of forms that people can utilize from your site. And I think that that is very good. I think any time we can empower others so that they realize that they don't have to be drowning, they don't have to get lost in whatever quagmire of disruption is going through their lives, I think it's good to know that there are answers. Because so many times our life experience, we're busy working or we've got kids or whatever responsibilities we're handling. And this is the last thing that we really get educated about. So I think what you've done with your book, Save Your Home, is just really quite good. So I want to repeat the website again, askaloanmodguru.com. Go check it out. Share the information with a friend. And more than anything else, get the book, because you may be able to help someone that really needs help that otherwise would just lose everything, and they don't need to. This is Donna Sebo. Anna Cuevas, thank you so much for being my guest. It's been a delight having you, and I know you'll continue to be successful, and I'm sort of glad that you were able to do this on your own, because I think it's important. It's a wonderful message to other people. It's just really a very good book for people to read. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Donna. There's so many negative things out there in the media and online, and I just thought people need to hear some positive things, too, and know that if they keep fighting for their dreams, they can win.
I agree. And that's what it takes, standing up and fighting and not just going along and rolling along and feeling like you don't have choice. And I think that's so valuable. Anna Huevas, again, her website is Ask a Loan Mod Guru or Save Your Home the book.com. This is Donna Siebel. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, we have just got a wonderful guest coming on tomorrow, Ann Deidre. We're going to be talking about extreme intuitive makeover. So if that is an area of interest for you, well, it's going to be going forward, and that's what we're going to be doing. And taking power and taking charge of your own space is something that has become more and more emphasized. It's amazing how many times people are made to feel that they don't have any choices. And usually we as individuals have to step up to the plate, We have to say, I refuse to be a victim. And that's why the quote that I shared at the first part of the interview with Anna that she put in her book, it's the first responsibility of every citizen to question authority. Benjamin Franklin said this a while back, but it is as significant today as it has ever been. When you do not question authority, when you do not really look at facts, usually you're going to find yourself then put in a position of helplessness. And believe it or not, a lot of people who think they're authorities aren't. They just aren't. They feign it, but they are not the authority. So this is something we need to remember. We have the right to question. We have the right to challenge. And this is what we must enforce. You don't give in to it. I know we are not going to have a whole bunch of time left in this hour, but if you got a pad of paper and a pen, I want to share a recipe with you that is absolutely marvelous. It's a mushroom tart. You can make this tart also with sausage. And sometimes we want things that are really, really easy to do. Now, this comes from Connie Banstra, and she runs a B&B, and she has developed these recipes through the years that her clients just absolutely love. They absolutely love. Whenever they see at her place, this is what they want to have. They really want to know about these things. So she put together this cookbook, and she's just a doll. Well, if you like tarts, here are two that she found she could fix for her customers, and they absolutely love them, and they were not really stressful to prepare. So let me give this to you. Now, you're going to want to have pastry shells. Now, sometimes you can get pastry shells already made up. They're in the frozen department of your frozen food department of your grocery store. But if you're not able to do that, you can take 2 cans of butter flake rolls. And what you want to do is you want to use your mini muffin pans, and you want to separate each of these rolls, the butter flake rolls, into 2 parts. Again, if you already have the shells that are pre-made, then you can use those. But these are going to turn out a little differently. You want to take each roll that's been made, you know, pulled apart into 2 sections. You want to flatten them and press them into the pan, and you want to bake them at 375 to 400 degrees. It depends on your oven and how it works, for 10 to 12 minutes. Now, you've got to watch them because you don't want them to get real dark. You just want that nice golden brown. And if you like, you can take a little bit of egg white and put it on your crust so it gets that shiny, shiny look. Or you can even use milk. That gives a very nice, shiny, crusty look. Now, this is the filling that you're going to use for these tarts. The first one is a mushroom filling. Now, what you're going to need is 1 pound of mushrooms. You want to chop them up finely. Of course, these are fresh. You're going to need 4 tablespoons of green onions. You want to mince those up very finely. And you need about 1/2 cup of butter, 1/2 cup of flour, 1 teaspoon of salt, and you're going to need 2 cups of whipping cream. Did that surprise you? Well, let me tell you how easy this is. You're going to saute your mushrooms and your green onions, of course, in your butter. Then you want to blend the flour and the salt in. You want to whisk that in. And then you add your cream, and you can continue cooking over medium heat until it's nice and thick and smooth. And then you will fill your pastry shell, and you bake it at 375 degrees for about 12 to 15 minutes. Now, that's one filling. The other one is the sausage filling. You're going to use 1 pound of your favorite sausage. You need 1 small onion, chopped finely, 1/2 cup of milk, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, 1/4 pound of mushrooms, 1 egg, and 1/2 cup of shredded cheddar. That's right. So you have 1 pound of sausage and 1 onion, 1/2 cup of milk, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, 1/4 pound of mushrooms, 1 egg, and 1/2 cup of shredded cheddar. This is how it goes. She likes the Jimmy Dean sausage that has the sage flavor. You use whatever you like. And you want to brown the sausage along with the onion and the mushroom. When they are thoroughly cooked, then you beat your egg and milk together, add it to the sausage, onion, and mushroom mixture. Then you add your cheese, your salt, and pepper. Mix it all well. Fill the shells. It's going to take about 1 tablespoon in each shell. You bake in the oven at 350 degrees for about 15 to 20 minutes. Aren't they good? Wonderful. But really simple. It's not real involved. It's just a real simple preparation. And what people like is that they're small. You know, when you have sometimes real big tarts, people may not prefer that. And if you've got a bunch of people coming over or sitting down at the table, when you have those little tarts, it really is nice. So these are wonderfully flaky, and they are just delicious. So I wanted to share that with you because I think that that is a marvelous recipe. This is Donna Sebo. I know that we're just about out of time. I want you to know that you are very, very special. And it is such a delight to have you join me every morning here. And it's important for us to realize that when we have the opportunity to learn about things that might help others, that we pass it on. And this is why I think the information that Ann Huevas gave us today regarding about working with your home. Now, maybe you're not in a situation where you're dealing with a potential foreclosure, but you may know of someone who is. When we can be informed, then we can take action, and we can take the right kind of action. So often we make assumptions. God knows I've done enough of that in my life. We all make assumptions that sometimes end up costing us seriously. So you want to be able to have that positioning of being informed, not assuming things, and really work with the facts in a way and manner that's going to empower you as an individual. When you empower yourself, you're going to be able to pass that along to someone else. And that's what I like to think. Having the diversification of people on the Donna Siebel Show enables you to become aware of many things that maybe otherwise you wouldn't have had a clue about, and maybe you wouldn't even have known how to research things. So that's what I like to think we're able to accomplish with the show. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Your life belongs to you, not to someone else. Your mind is yours. Nourish it, expand your thinking, invest in yourself. You're the best asset you've got. This is Donna Siebel. I'm so delighted you were able to join me. Join me tomorrow for Understanding How You Can Expand Your Own Intuitive Capabilities. We'll be right here, same time, same place. This is Donna Siebel. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.